Start first of all by adjusting your motivation, thinking that you're here in this special occasion to listen to the most profound and extensive teachings of the Mahayana. The reason why you do that is because you aspire to reach this state of perfect and complete enlightenment, an unsurpassable state of everlasting happiness. The reason why you do that is because you want to eradicate all negativity and develop all possible positive qualities in order to be able to help sentient beings. Sentient beings who have been your mothers in the past and are experiencing different types of suffering are as vast as the vastness of space. So for their sake, you're here today to listen to these teachings. Without thought in your mind, please adjust your motivation and adopt a mental attitude that is suitable for this occasion. Now when we talk about the teacher Buddha Shakyamuni, we also need to talk about the teachings that are given. The Buddhist teachings that are given can be examined in terms of view and in terms of conduct. The Buddhist conduct is the conduct that is avoiding cruelty. Cruelty in any form, whether it is physical, mental or verbal. These things have to be avoided. This is the basic conduct of a Buddhist. Now, as for the view of the Buddhist has to be a view that is examined after thorough examination. In a sense that we say that Buddhism is more or less a science, in the sense that examination has to be done in a proper way, in a scientific way. This is how we define view and conduct, the basic pillars of the Buddhist teachings.
Now, ñamne jine me tebyu dawo jine dan di thala me tebyu jige ya se ji jine teni ichi go goni teba ji go yi wa re te ma ta ne tambo ni zone o ji da ichi go goni ga re se go o ji da khne ji ya yu wa ma re se o da ti tin da ji sa ja de ni.
Now, this need for vigorous examination that each individual has to engage in is something that has been stressed straight from the beginning from Buddha Shakyamuni himself. Buddha Shakyamuni gave us this four-line verse where he says, those who are scholars and those who are fully ordained should not accept my speech as it is given. Instead, they should engage in the three types of examination as if they were buying gold. Now, in the past, if somebody were to go out and buy gold, it was understood that one would not buy anything that a merchant would try to pass on as being pure gold. Instead, one would go through three types of examination. Initially, one would have to rub that piece to see if it was mere color on the surface. Now, further on, one would have to pass it through fire to see if the color would change. And finally, one would have to cut through the piece to see how solid the piece of gold was and so forth. It's in a similar way that we would have to go through three different levels of examinations if we were to buy something as precious as gold. The teachings that we are trying to follow also should not be accepted at face value. One should engage in vigorous examinations in different levels, and only then after one has been convinced, one can say that I have generated faith in those teachings and I will take them on. And as for the three levels of examinations, first of all, one needs to apply reasoning. There is a lot of doubt that needs to be addressed with proper reasoning and proper proof. So a lot of logic has to be applied in that. And finally, it's very important also to go back and check the origin of whatever is taught and whatever is passed on to us. So checking the origin, applying proper reasoning, and finding the proper proof for the things we're trying to prove are the three necessary steps in order to generate strong conviction, and only then we can say that we have stable faith for what we're trying to practice. And on the basis of that, one can engage then freely our practices. We talked yesterday a little bit about engaging in different practices, and we said basically one has a choice of sutric practices, of tantric practices. Within the sutric practices, we mentioned the Lam Rim, and the Lam Rim is presented traditionally within the practices of the three scopes, so presenting paths that are shared to the individuals of the small scope, to those of the middle scope, and those of the great scope. Another way to summarize the three scopes of the Lam Rim is to present the three principal aspects of the path. In order to begin with the first one, which is the generation of the mind of renunciation, first of all, we need to look at the type of existence, the type of cyclic existence that we find ourselves in order to recognize the nature of its nature, which is that of suffering. There is one very famous quotation where it says, as long as I'm abiding within cyclic existence, it is as if I'm sitting at the tip of a needle. How could I ever be comfortable in that? So the same way you visualize yourself sitting at the tip of the needle, you can, no matter how comfortable the seat is, the needle is always piercing you. So there is always an experience of something, there is always something there that will make you feel uncomfortable. It is important to understand that when we're talking about cyclic existence, we're talking about a common experience that all six types of migrators experience. All beings will fall within the six types of migrators are beings who are cycling within cyclic existence. What really is the thing that migrates from one life into the other is the mind of those sentient beings. And the common thing that we all have and we all share is suffering. Although we go through times where we experience relative comfort and relative happiness, now, the overwhelming experience is that of suffering. So recognizing that we're actually within a state of a prison, more or less, within this cyclic existence, we need to generate this very strongly the mind of renunciation. Now, although suffering might be difficult to think about, there is also benefits of contemplating various types of suffering, because as Arya Shantideva has said in his work, Engaging in the Bodhisattva's Ways of Life, without suffering, there would be no renunciation. So we use the suffering in order to recognize cyclic existence as being a prison. And once you generate that feeling that you're enclosed, that you're kept within the prison, of course the thought of escaping and the thought of aspiring to reach liberation will easily be generated. So that's the use of contemplating suffering, and that's the use of generating renunciation, the first of the three principal aspects of the path. Having established that, one needs to go a bit further and consider that not only one solely is experiencing suffering, but this is a common experience for all sentient beings. Therefore, if one is seeking for liberation, that should be sought for the sake of everybody else, not just for one's personal aims. And in that way, we move from the mind of renunciation to the mind of bodhicitta. And finally, one needs to generate the correct view that cognizes the selflessness of all dharma. In that way, we have renunciation, bodhicitta, and correct view as being the basis of our practice. And remember that whether one is engaging in sutric or in tantric practices, one needs to be very clear about the basis, the path, and the result that one is wishing to attain.
ဟောဒီတော့ဒီနေ့ရင်ပဲရင်ဒီဘဉ္ဇဉ်လုံဆောင်ကြည်ညိုမှာလာမန်ကျော်ပန်းနာရယုဂဘမောလံကြည်ချင်တော့တမ္ပမန်ဒီဆောင်နဲ့လာမရမ်ကတုံတင်ဒီထုံးနေဟောဒီဒါငါကတုံတင်တဲ့ကြည်ကောင်ကမရနော်နဲ့ဆောင်ဒီဝါယုဂယုဂနဲ့မောလံမရဒူးရင်တော့ဝတောင်းရတဲ့နာငင်းကြောင်းကြောင့်ဆမရောင်းတော့တဘာတော့ရမ်ကြီးလမ်းကြည့်တော့ဘာသရှင်ကျော်ဝစင်းသကညိဘူတီနော်လားဝတဲ့လမ်းဇိုးနာမ်စံတောင် Kandrādhāma-sāna-sāngyū-nāṅgā-yūnā-mēnā-dī-vādā-sālāṅ-tuk-sāṅ-bhūtī-tīn-chūgā-yīnā nüla na ten yang de mi ti tro ten ye ho ji yo na lu de bo yang ge wa ro lu de bo yang na sem de bo yang ge ri sem de bo yang na sam lu tang ya ji sai ren du wa da chi che ren du wa yang wa yin du ho ji da ti ka ni bo ti na na ho ji nyang ne ge ren ba gong ge du jo yi wa yin du te dum de wo ji yin bi wa
Now actually in the text of Lama Chöpa, the Guru Puja that was composed by one of the Panchen Lamas, at the end we have a number of prayers. We have the Lamrim dedication prayers, and we have prayers that refer specifically to practices of Tantra. And at the end of that we have a more concise praise. In one of the verses of this concise praise we find within two lines, let's say the whole practices, the possibility of all the practices we can do, we can find included in that. So it says, may I be able to generate renunciation, bodhicitta and correct view, and may I be capable to complete the two stages of Tantra. So you see straight away in the first line we have the mention of the three principal aspects of the path, and then in the second line there is reference to tantric practices. If one is practicing lower tantras, one would have to engage in two distinct stages, which are called yoga with signs and yoga without signs. Within the frame of practices of yoga with signs, what we're doing is that we're generating ourselves as the deity, visualizing the deity with all its aspects, different number of heads and arms, holding various hand symbols and so forth. And then at the next phase, where we're practicing yoga without signs, we're meditating on the emptiness of all these appearances. What happens at the highest yoga tantra as we're engaging in practices of generation stage and practice of completion stage? Again, there are two distinct phases, more or less similar practices, but they're given different names. At the stage of generation, again, we're visualizing ourselves as being the deity, but at the stage of completion, we'll be focusing on practices that will be bringing about the purification of the channels, the wings, and the drops. The reason why we do that is because we want to render those three things serviceable. We want to bring about a certain degree of purification and flexibility with the winds and the drops that move within our channels. And the reason for that is that in that way we can actually bring about a general purification of all the aspects of our body, not only improving the health, but also getting closer to this model of perfect existence of the Buddha that we have as a goal.
Oggi da dinna yin ba yin du da lan zo na zo ko thoni da dan da dana ma le ji di le na na ji da ma ji ma le ji lan zo na zo da lan rung da ji ma ko ji on do wo tin da ji ma ji wa ji ma chen gi yin sa ku ri di wa no na sa ba tin da ji ma ku mi ma chen gi tin da yang ko yo wa ro wa tin da yin ba yin du ta zo na ku ta ni wo ji ga to ju na ma shu ya di ka chen bu yang ko min ro sa tin da yin ba yin du ngin jong li sa ne ดังงินจองเสียเจตละรึมันดาวะงินจองจิวยจังยกกวนงินจองจังเรงกกกวดติลิโตสิมีเส้นทวายินดุงินจองเดเชมบุกกวนงินจองดิงินจองเชวะเตียลียองโทรนโทวะติงอกกกกวนงินจองดิงินจองเชยวะดิเตนองจังกงินจองเชยวะเตนองจังกจัมรูยองนิเส้นดาวะมันดาวะจิวยจังยกกวดจังรุเรงกกกวดจังรุเชมบุกกวดจังรุงอกกกกวดจังรุดิ จำรู้ละเจนจิตติญีกุกุยวะยันดุจิกะกังเรกังเรกังเรกังเรกังจิบะจิดะกังเรกังเรกังเรกังเรกังจิบะเสจิเตละเช่นดีกังเรเสจิมีกังเรจิกะลำญาเมจิวะกัสสะยองจิญาณเนละวัตติจวบะชินจิละกะลุกังเรมังบุจิยวะรวะกัปเตตังเตละติมบะกังเรเตละจิทุจิตะเตลิจวยะกะนิวะติคุณโจสนะยุบะยิจิวะกุนิจำรู้จิวะติยันบะยันดุ
วจิตังงินจองนะจัมรุนิกันจิติยวะจัมรุเสจิติโนบะซังจิวะเตมเป็นจิโกยองยังกะยวะนอบะซังจิวะจิจัมรุนานะญาณเนกังกะทุนติยวะยันตุจิกะนอบะซังจิวะยันเสนะจิกะจัมรุเทลองอะจิเมนะนอบะซังจิวะติละสกะมิยะยันตุวะดะงินจองกะกามิจัมรุดองจิวะติเชกุวะจิ
Now we mentioned the three principal aspects of the path, and although there are a lot of people in this room who have heard those teachings around those three subjects before, for the sake of those who are coming here, maybe they are the beginners, Rinpoche thought that it would be good to mention a few things about that. So beginning with renunciation, most important thing to remember about that is renunciation as well as refuge can be presented in different levels, in different occasions. We can talk about renunciation that is generated within the scope of the small scope. Renunciation, different type of renunciation, different size, different depth of renunciation that is generated as we are in the middle scope, and a different one as we are in the great scope, and even a different type of renunciation that needs to be generated when we are engaging in tantric practices. So we have at least four distinct levels of renunciation. And the same thing applies actually to refuge. Now, with refuge, the important thing is to recognize that there are many obstacles and there are many things to be afraid of. There are things to be afraid before you enter the path, after you enter the path, as you try to apply yourself to the practices. There will always be obstacles, there will always be things that you need to be protected from. So, one thing is first of all to recognize your fear, to recognize your vulnerability at different stages. And the other thing is to recognize that the three jewels of refuge actually have the potency to offer full protections at all these different occasions. Now, talking about refuge as well, which can be defined in those four different occasions, it's important to see that refuge is the beginning, is the entry into Buddhism. Now, you can say that you're a Buddhist, but if you don't have a thoroughly established refuge, all you're saying is mere words. So whether you are a Buddhist or not entirely depends on your sense of refuge.
Oji da din da dang dang so dang bo min jang ge kam ni cham ru dang de yong ni da din ni ni wa di shang ju ji sam se ji di sam ba zong bu ma yong tin de wo rong rong chi wa ma yin ba rong yin kang ga la kang ga yo de di sa ya da di wa di de ya ge che de sam xin de wo jin na dam ja ya ya di che di ta de ba chang ji ji kong kong ji di yin ba yin du de la yong ji cham ru dang de yo wa ri min jang dang de yo wa ri sam zong bu ji ya de la kang ga ji ten na Then they can get in the city in the diamond. She did Ramba Mamuji go in the Kangam Ramba Mamuji still go in the Sena number. Say I will cheat the meat and judge of I in the what you dash on Juji some day on my son Juji Sanguinam day on Kangara on Chabdini. What you dash that you mean on the young non Yamne Congress on the Uruati, non Jungo, son Juji some Zombo, Samba Zombo Town, Samba Zombo say Judy.
Now, having explained a little bit about renunciation, the first principal aspect of the path, we move to the second one, which is called bodhicitta. Now, when we talk about bodhicitta, we talk about a particular mind generation. And in order to reach at that point, we need to understand that there are certain preliminary steps that need to come about. When we talk about the mind of bodhicitta, we're describing the attitude of a person who can see that not only myself is suffering, but equally everybody else is going through different types of suffering. So if suffering is to be eliminated, that has to happen not only just for myself, but also for the various types and degrees of suffering that is experienced for everybody else. And therefore one comes to the point to make a very brave decision and oath to say, I promise, I will practice until I reach the state of enlightenment. Why? Because I want to liberate all sentient beings. So the mind of bodhicitta starts with this aspiration, starts with that promise that we make for the sake of all sentient beings. Now the same thing that we said about renunciation and we said about refuge that comes in different stages, we also need to understand that bodhicitta is related to the development of those different stages of renunciation and a sense of refuge. And the other important thing about renunciation, as we say, about bodhicitta, is that this is the end product of a very long practice. Love and compassion need to be generated prior to that, and one would need to engage in different stages, such as the stages that are included within the method of exchanging and equalizing oneself for others.
Tambanya Zijidan, Yantabi Tavasi, Judy Chutamchi Kutanamar, ཁྱི
And finally, we come to the third of those three principal aspects of the path, which is the generation of correct view. And here, when we talk about correct view, we're talking about comprehension of selflessness or emptiness of all dharmas. And we say that emptiness is the quality that pervades everything that exists, all dharmas. Now, in the same way that we can say space pervades and covers everything that exists around us, in a similar way, we have to understand emptiness to apply to all bases, to all dharmas of existence. And what we need to understand is that exactly because this is emptiness pervades all dharma, it's something that allows for change. We talk about change and we talk about improvement, and this is our ultimate goal. Well, this change and this improvement is only possible exactly because the emptiness of all dharmas is established. And the other thing that comes out of this understanding is the fact that everything depends on something else. Things are not established without depending on other things. Everything is interdependently connected. And that allows, again, for some change. So in that way, we see, we gave a brief explanation of the three principal aspects of the path. And in a sense, you can say that all practices that we do, whether they are sutric, whether they are tantric, can be based, should be based on those three.
ཁྱི ཕྱད མམ གསྲ 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 གསྲ
When we talk about sutric and tantric practices, yesterday we used some other terms as well, and when we talk about sutric practices or the sutric vehicle, we call that also the causal vehicle. Whereas when we talk about the tantric practices, we can refer to that as the resultant vehicle. The reason why we call the sutric vehicle the causal one is because what we're stressing is that is the causes that would bring about the ultimate result. We're not referring so much to the result as to the causes that will establish that. And here when we talk about causes, we're talking about engaging into the practices of the six perfections. So things such as generosity and ethics and enthusiastic effort and concentration and wisdom. And I forgot one. Anyway, so patience, yes. So all six of them actually include both method and wisdom, which are the causes that will bring about the result that we're seeking for. Now, in Tantra, we are stressing different things, and this is why the name resultant vehicle is also used.
ဒီဝေဒီဒီရောင်ညမောင်းဘာနာဂျေဝဒုကြီးဆောင်ကကွန်ဖောင်းဒီဒီယူထောရဘမကိရသတ်ဘာဒီမန္တရတရာဒုကြီးဆောင်ကကွန်ဖောင်းထောရဘချစ်တန်ဒီဝေဒီထောရဘချစ်တန်မကိရဝါရဝတန်ဒီဝေနီကောဇဂျေဒီဝေနီဒီနီတဘာဂျေယင်ခေါကနံဘယင်ဒီဝေ ወደ ጀርመኒ ሉዝሊነ ዱርጂን ቻንጎ ቀሉ ዴያ ማርጂ ጂ ጋርዝ ጎ ሰባ ነባ መጀማ ሜበ ቾክንዚ ዮንደ ግንዲ ንበ የንዱ ወጂ ቀዮ ተባ ጂ የንዲ ዳ ኒዲ ዘይ ኮን የንዱ ተባ ቀ ተባ ደኒ ጀርመኒ ሉ ናንሹ ዘድዩነ ጂ ንዱ ቀሰ ጂ ዝደደ ዝደደ ሮ ረክሲ ቹንጋላ ናንሹ ያጎ ဂုံမီရှိပါဒါဂုံမီရှိပါမကိရှိပါနဘရှိပါနိရှိပါကြီးရှိပါလူကြီးရှိပါဒီရဇဂဒရူသဗလာနောင်ရှုပ်ချတ်တဲ့အောင်ကြီးမာတော်ဝါဇာနိနောင်ရမေတင်ဝေတပတ်ကြောင့်ကြောင့်ရံပဲရင်သူနောင်ရှုပ်တပတ်တပတ်စံပတ်ဝတ္တရှိပါဒီတန်ဒေပါစေသူဒေပါဆောင်ကြီးကြောင့်တင်းဒီကကိရှာကကိန်ဒေပါစေနရှေစကိနန်ဒေပါစေအောင်ကိုရပါဒီရှေစာမာကြီးနကိရှာကဆောင်ကိရှာက ဒါကင်းတဲ့ပါဆောင်ကင်းတဲ့ပါဒီကောင်ကင်းတဲ့ပါဒီတပတ်ရင်သူဒီကရောင်းစတဲ့ပါရေတောင်နံပါတ်တံပါလီတံပိုးဝဆိုင်နေစုံနဲ့တပတ်မနဲ့အောင်တင်းကိုဝရမှာမှုမှုကိုဂုံကဒီပါရင်နဲ့တိရဝတဲလာရှင်လည်းရှိနေနမရှိနေတိရဝတီတပတ်တင်လာပဲငိုရကြရကြီးရောပါရင်သူဝတန်ဒီကရောင်းတော့ကြတဲ့နံပါတ်တံပါနမဂုံပဲရောပါထိုင်နေနံကြီးကြံကိုတပတ်တယ်လာ
Now we'll come now to the tantric vehicle, which as we say is called the resultant vehicle. It is called the resultant vehicle because the way we practice is in a way that is stressing the result. Straight from the beginning, we're looking at the resultant state of enlightenment, and we set that as being our ultimate goal. And what we do through our practices of deity yoga is we try to imitate, we try to visualize, we try to imagine that we have already reached that state, and we are practicing. In a sense, we are rehearsing the activities that we would be doing if we were already enlightened. At the state of enlightenment, it is said that we have four types of purities that characterize ourselves and the environment around us. First of all, we have the purity of the environment, and that implies that the ordinary environment and the ordinary house that we are abiding right now would have to be seen as being already purified and developed into the inestable mansion and the mandala within which the deities abide. The purity of the body is the purity that allows us to visualize ourselves as being completely divine. So instead of seeing ourselves having an ordinary body, we're seeing ourselves as having the body of an enlightened being, which is adorned with all the marks and the signs. Then we have the purity of the enjoyment, where we have to think that whatever comes in contact with our senses is enjoyed in the most pure way. So in other words, our eyes awareness, our nose awareness, ear awareness, tactile awareness, taste awareness, they're all coming in contact with objects that are generating perfect bliss and perfect purity. And finally, we have the purity of activities. So you understand, when you reach the state of enlightenment, all activities that you do are they're called enlightened activities. They are not ordinary activities. So right now, where we are still practicing, where we're still at the stage where we are a generation stage, we mimic all these activities and we imagine that we have established all these four types of purities. And we proceed like this in order to receive the blessings that will bring about the necessary transformation.
ဟုတ်ကြည်တဲ့တင်တဲ့ရင်တဲ့ရင်ဒီတဲ့ဂျီတဘာတန်ဒီဝိတဘာညစင်နန်တဲ့ဒုစင်ဒုတောင်ငောက်ညစင်နန်တဲ့ဒုတောင်ဂျင်းညစင်နန်တဲ့ဒုငောက်ညီကြီးချပန်တော်တင်တဲ့ရုပ်တင်ညောင်းကြည့်ဒုတောင်ငောက်စေကြည့်တဲ့ဒုညာမနေကြည့်ဒုငောက်ကညာမနေကြည့်မကူးနေတဲ့ငောက်ကညာမနေကြည့်ဒုညာမနေကြည့်မကူးမီအောင်မတင်ကြီးကကြည့်ကြည့်လာကြွယ်ရုပ်တင်ကြီး
So whether you're going to call them causal and resultant vehicle, or whether you're going to refer to them as sutra and tantra or sutra and mantra, whichever way you choose to call them, it's very important to keep in mind that these two types of practices, they actually need to complement each other. as beginners, it makes more sense that we will spend more time on practices of sutra rather than on practices of tantra, but that doesn't mean that we will completely abandon tantric practices. It is important to understand that sutra on its own cannot take you very far, and tantra that is not supported by sutra will not end into the right result. So it's important to always unite sutra and tantra, make sure that one complements the other. Now, the way we practice sutra and tantra also has to come in a particular order. So we have to follow the order of those practices. And an example that shows that very well is the example of our Western education. We know that we have at least three distinct levels of education. You can go through primary, secondary education, and finally you can go through the college or the university. And we know that the best educated people are those who have gone through all levels of education. There are a lot of people who never complete, they never, you know, graduate from whatever grade they have started. Now you understand that if you don't finish the grade you're in, of course you will be lacking in some qualities and some education that other people who proceed further on will have more than you. Now, the important thing to understand, though, is that as we move along from one grade into the other, we move gradually. Nobody is jumping classes and nobody is doing previously what they should be doing later on. So in a similar way, sutra and tantra should be seen as two different levels of practices, and within them we have sub-levels, and all need to be followed in an orderly way. And when we talk about tantra, also we use the word mantra, and many times we also talk about secret mantra. Mantra and tantra are used almost as name equivalent. If we look at the etymology of the word mantra, it can be broken down into two words. It means mind protection. Now, when we talk about those practices, we're talking about protection, and it's not really the body or the speech that needs to be protected. The mind is the one which primarily needs to be protected. If the mind is protected, body and speech will automatically, secondarily, in a sense, will also be covered by this protection. And what is it that the mind needs to be protected from? Well, it's this sense that we have an ordinary body, an ordinary speech, an ordinary mind. We need to protect ourselves from thinking that we are ordinary. We need to protect ourselves from ordinary appearances and assenting at those appearances. So this is the protection that we are seeking for through these practices.
ཁྱི Mammy Jonder Gummi Jinayan, but you Mammy Jonder Jinayahu, you are is. Young Mammy Jonder Giala, no the Maram in Radan. You see my Karasago, Mammy Songa, so Shala, my Sawaji, Likanda, Yenati, Songaji Go, Rima, Taji, Mammy Jonder Gizago, Mammy Consonso, Sajan, then I you are, Yonji, Savana, you are, is Sanda. Or then Tonana, you are, is Sanda, Tindajima, Hakua, Yenati.
And finally, we come to the explanation of the last word, secret. We talk about the mantra or tantra, or we talk about the secret vehicle. It's called the secret vehicle because those practices need to remain undisclosed to those who are not suitable to hear about those things. It is said that if you talk about your tantric practices to those who are not ready or are not suitable, they have not been prepared to hear about those things, most probably these people will generate reverse faith, non-faith in those practices. And this is what we're trying to avoid in this situation. Let me just say, I'll give you an example for that. Suppose you're trying to sent an army in one country for an operation or another. Now it is understood that what you do is you're sending people undercover and you're sending in spies. Now imagine how successful the operation would be if the location and the time and the number and the identity of all these people were disclosed, right? It wouldn't be so successful. Spies and secret agents need to remain secret, undisclosed. So actually, we received this phone call yesterday and the day before, and I was asking, is it okay to have a live transmission on the net of those teachings on Tantra? And Rinpoche says, I don't want anyone to worry. Of course, you know, what you're getting here is a preliminary introduction to Tantra. You're not going to be given the secret of the secrets. So we're not proclaiming those things. Those things that are not suitable to be publicized, let's say, in a wider audience, will not be discussed in this occasion. So Rinpoche says that I'm not here to tell you exactly, you know, where the spies and the secret agents are. You know, some are hiding in the mud and some are hiding in the plane, some are hiding in the, you know, under the sea and so forth in secret submarines. So we're not to disclose everyone's position here. We will just talk generally about certain things that one needs to understand about Tantra. So that's the need for keeping oneself. That explains the need for needing to keep one's tantric practices secret.
Come, mīsī bōgā mārī jījīn rāwī jālā yīn bīyī wārī tī mārī jīgī dāvā jīgī mī ngār dā jīgī dāvā gā ngū jī sēnā dā dāvā chādāng jīgī gā wā jīgī dā chādāng mā dāng gāni jīyā jīgī yōng sī kī wārī tī tī lōngān rāwū tī dāvā gā dāng ngū jī tī rā jīgī rāna mī ngāni tī gō wī wārī wā tī kāp tī lā jīgī tsā tā sō tā wā tā jīgī lōng tā sō tā sī bō tī chī rā rō ที่ลีออนซ์ดอกาจิตบายันดูว่าจิตาดอกเสดูนามีลีเตลาจิตาจันเทนมังบุยวารีจันเทนกะนอนะลองมังบุจิกุยวารีที่นอนะยองจิคัมกะโบดังคัมกะมะกันทุนเตยังบุยวารีที่กังกะซะยาลาจิมีงานนี่ดะกงโจลองกุยวารีวะเตนดะกะมีลีเตงกะตาลองทุซัมเตจิตองมาจิตโซยาลาที่นานจุกงบะทาวนี่ลิสะรงวาจิโซยาเยนะ
So we have explained in brief what are the type of visualizations and what the type of what are you thinking about when you're practicing generation stage. We come to the second stage now, which is called the stage of completion within the practice of Tantra. Now, what we need to understand is that as we're born as human beings, we are also called to possess the six elements. These are six elements, three for the from the father and three that come from the mother, that actually we receive at the time of conception. What we have at the time of conception is the white element from the father and the red element from the mother, and these two substances, they mix together. On the basis of that physical basis, we have consciousness that comes and unites, and this is what happens at the time of conception. Following the time of conception, we will have a time where the fetus we will need to develop. And usually this takes about 9 months. Although birth is possible to be given before the time of 9 months, it is usually the case that individuals who were born prematurely might have, you know, a weaker constitution and might have some health problems. So we take 9 months as being the average, or, you know, the best time for development. What happens during those 9 months is that actually the different channels and the different winds that circulate within those channels are developed. And at the time of birth, after 9 months after the time of conception, it is said that we come out of the womb of the mother and we are fully developed. That means that we have established a body which is already capable of functioning, and it has a huge net of major and secondary channels and different winds, and also the white and red substances are circulating in this channel. So what is it exactly that we're trying to do at the practice of completion stage? Well, we try to purify the channels and the winds that flow through them. If we can render those things serviceable, then what we will do is we will actually ideally purify the winds that move through the channels. And if you can change the movement of the winds, that means you can also change the type of mind that is riding those winds. So this is what we are referring to. When we use the term completion, we're referring to complete purification and complete serviceability of the winds and the channels.
Rinpa nyiwa, dhapa rinpa, dachiwa, minyang yang zong yang tak tawa tang, rinmi yi siddhi, rinpa tangpo di chepa rinpa, nyiwa di dhapa rinpa si jiti, wata zawaya di tsalang tiksam yinpa yindu, dhawaram ka kaabni, jiga tsaga, zikpo luwa namlang di shiko goywa, zikpo la nyiwa tsayi rangja si jiti, tsa san chen tang, tsay chenpo, tasu tsang kor kawa kawa yomi, tasu ngigo goywa, nyiwa tsayi namlang zong yang goywa.
So
So as we say, what happens really at the completion stage is that we're working a lot with the channels and the winds and the drops. So it's very important when we engage in those practices to have a full presentation of those things, to know exactly how many channels they are, how they are distributed within the body, to also know the places of the chakras, which is the places where the channels cross with each other, and so forth. It is also very important to understand the type of winds that can circulate through those channels, and to be aware of subtle and more gross types of winds, and finally to be aware of the flow of substances. Here we're talking about the flow of white and red substances, which in this particular occasion they're given the name bodhicitta as well. So all those things need to be understood in order to be able to engage in this process of purification of those things. It's important to regulate the flow of white and red substances, as well as it is important to have a regulation of the flow of different types of winds, because as we say, that regulates the type of minds that are generated. Now, to give you, let's say, a basic example of what it means to regulate the flow of white and red substances, an example of red substance is the blood. And you know how careful we have to be with our blood pressure. You go into the doctor and you get examined, and if your blood pressure is high, then you have to take some steps to lower it. If it is too low, you would have to do something in order to increase it. If you don't have enough of red cells in your blood, again, you are going to be sick, and therefore those need to be increased. So working actually with the red and the white substances makes sure that we have good health. And, you know, there are many ways of maintaining one's good health. In these days, we can all recognize how important it is to exercise. Now, it's important to understand that most of the channels that we have within our own bodies are not stretched out as they should be. Most of the channels are twisted. Many of them might have even knots in them, which means that channels which are restricted like that do not allow a proper flow of the winds and the substances through them. So it's important to exercise. And the same way that some people like very much, let's say, to swim, that's their favorite mode of exercising. Other people can engage in running or, you know, all sorts of activities. And we know the benefit of those physical exercises. If you can understand that on a physical level, then take that at the level of completion stage and understand that what you are doing during your deity yoga is to engage in some sort of exercises that will bring about this pliancy of the channels and the winds and the substances. So we are about at 11:30. We have about half an hour left. There is time for question and answers. If there are no questions, we will just continue with the presentation.
How are the channels affected by surgery? cultivating strength and
fastness. Rinpoche la ngaro so supo la sakjut tangwa yina, operation tawaji tangwa yina, ngaro so tsawa di gyurwa joyi rewe sa, yang tela nupa ke na ngaro so di yabu yang ya ke tashe yo rewe sa.
Oh, really. で、もね、ガルズゴジ、そう、ジュジナジダナタガトグ、そう、ジュマジロン、ジュラジ、チャクイワリマト、ジュランジャンゴ、ザ、ユディンイティ、トスグゾジュジャガインビワリワティ、トスノクイウサルワ。ジュ、ナムジャンゴジュ、ザブロムゴミ、ザオイナ、ランジャンゴザディ、ジュ、ノゴミアンダタ、ティンダグ、ゴミジャガガテ、タウニ、マジュ、トマンダ、ソアンダジョナ、ティニャムチョンドグイワマリマト、ディ、トスノクイウサル。
Yeah, well, Rinpoche is saying that Krishna understands operation is such an intrusive thing to one's body, and of course the channels are affected by that, are affected in not very nice way, all right? If you are a great practitioner who is quite advanced on the completion stage, you would try to purify the channels and to purify your body through your practices of the completion stage, and hopefully you'll be successful so that you can avoid an operation. Yeah, operation tan san ne, Rinpoche la tsawa di lar so ki tapse yore we san.
Ori, dida yokere wa. Jige dorom gomya da so ko jige mgnam nga mga yuwa ri. Tsa go ni tang, nong go ni tala yikin ra ko. O jige ta dritsan bevzhan te jide, ten ra go go ni nyam ne jiwa yena yang, jige rong so chaba ya nga tang.
And after you have subjected yourself to an operation, there is actually a way of, let's say, bringing about some healing into the channels that have been affected. So again, you have to engage in some practices of the completion stage. You have to engage in visualization of the channels and the winds and the substances, and visualize the channels are being, you know, in a perfect state. Together with that, visualize that there are certain blessed substances flowing down and receiving those, circulating through your channels, and that would have a healing effect on whatever has been disturbed. Now, Rinpoche was talking about, you know, let's say a minor and a major operation. A minor operation is not that bad, but when you come to the point of amputation, actually, losing one limb, although physically we know that these days you can have prosthetic limbs, which can be, you know, quite comfortable or can be quite good, in terms of practicing with your channels, that would be really, really bad. You cannot reverse the effect of losing one limb. Yes.
So, Rinpoche is telling us how channels come into effect. What happens at death with the channels and the limbs in the body?
Well, what happens at the time of death? You can say that something is packing up, right? Like consolidated. Now, of course, the body, you know, physically, the dimensions of the body remain the same, and the number of the channels remain the same. But what happens is that the flow of the winds will change. So instead of having winds flowing in all of the channels, gradually we will notice that the winds are withdrawing and will come to circulate into the central channel and then into specific areas into that. So it's the opposite of expanding. It's a process of withdrawing.
Oh, that the morang dua di tu si nengok jinjing biwaru.
Now, that's a good question actually, because it brings us to something else that needs to be discussed. And when we say, what happens at the time of death is, as we say, that the winds are gradually starting to withdraw into the central channel and we have this process of consolidating things. And also the mind, instead of being gross, becomes a bit more subtle. But all this happens involuntarily. We don't have any control over it. It is due to our previous karma and afflictions that we're going through these stages. What we are trying to do during the practices of completion stage is to actually mimic this process, but this time we try to have full control. So a practitioner of the completion stage is meditating on emptiness, and through the power of this meditation, what they are doing is that they are stopping the activity of gross awareness. So in that way, gross mental awareness, gross ear awareness and so forth will have to cease operating, which means that things such as forms and sound, gross forms and gross sounds and gross tastes and smells and so forth will not be appearing in your mind. And gradually that will bring about a process with which we will go from grosser awareness into more subtle awareness. Now remember, at the stage of completion, all this is happening voluntarily. It is happening due to the fact that you are meditating on emptiness. It is through the force of your meditation that you're bringing about all these changes. At the time of death, they're happening involuntarily. What you're trying to do when you're practicing this, the stage of completion, is very similar to trying to fly out of space, right? You know, if you're trying to fly out of space, you're trying to go to the moon or in any other of the planets, you would have to be very good at utilizing the forces of the winds. And here we mean to, you know, to go out of the field of gravity and so forth. Now, in order to do something like that, you need quite a lot of training. So what a meditator is doing through these phases, they are training themselves to recognize and work as much as possible with the subtlest possible winds. They don't want to work with gross winds. They want to work with something which is very subtle. So it is some sort of preparation. The same way that the army is training before they go to the battle, the same way that people before they go on a mission to Mars or whatever, they have to train, in a similar way, we have to train to utilize this subtle wind.
Now, we talk about utilizing the very subtle wind in the very subtle mind, and this is, in order to understand that, maybe it's useful to look at what happens at the time where we're dreaming. We have a very subtle mind, and we have subtle bodies as well, and they can pervade anywhere, they can go anywhere. So what we're trying to do once we are awake, not at the time where we're asleep, is to bring about very subtle wind and very subtle mind. And the way to gain control over those things is through the power of one's meditation. So what you need to do is you need to meditate on emptiness. Meditating on the emptiness will give you this force of meditation that will allow you to change, to purify very subtle consciousness and very subtle winds, very subtle minds together with that. And if you can render those things serviceable, then you can move further. Then you can bring about the total purification we're talking about. If you are successful with that, if your meditation is powerful enough, then it is very possible to reach the state of enlightenment within one lifetime.
Does
the change of one's body affect the plans and the wind and yes, well, in any case, it's still possible that it is. Yeah, sure. Yeah, I'm going to say, I'm going to say, I'm going to say, I'm going to
say, I'm going to say,
Of course, you know, when you are young, everything is easier and everything is better, right? That applies to everything, not just practices of the completion stage. But the other thing is that really with those things is familiarity, right? The important thing is to generate familiarity with those practices again and again. So even if you take up those practices at a more advanced age, there is great hope. But still, Rinpoche says, I think it's better if one were to start younger and have the time to develop this familiarity. Everything is easier when you're younger. It's like a car, right? You have a new car and you can do, you know, wonders with it because the engine is new and because it's powerful. You keep it for 10, 20 years, it's not the same engine. I mean, it's the same engine. That's the problem. It gets really old. Yeah?
Is the central channel and the right channel and the left channel, is it just like a physical thing somewhere in our body, like of a certain size and shape in a definite location? Or do they exist through the power of our visualization of this and the meditation? Like, are we creating it?
Mm-hmm.
Or was it there
okay.
as a physical thing in our body?
Yeah. Nimbuchi langana so tsa oma roma tang kyama sunga tenso tambo ne yorewes yamana ngana so gom ki togi startu so yorewesa kono so rangsin yorewes supo nala yorewes
ori na da muni ti tsa ro jama ma sambodi mar tambo ni yoyoba yingi yari yari ti yena yang ji
Actually, they exist already from the beginning. We don't create them. We don't make them due to our practice of meditation. They are there. You know, at the time of birth, we have those. But as a matter of fact, they're a bit unclear. And if you were to ask a physician to, you know, point exactly where they are in your body, it's very difficult to locate those things. What happens through our practice is that their position becomes more evident, right? So it's easier for us to recognize. And especially this is true for the central channel. And Rinpoche says, I believe that the same must be true for the right and left channel as well.
I've not heard the concept of wind and drop.
Yeah.
I understand a little bit about channels, but I'm not sure that
wind and drop. Yeah. Rinpoche la, nyaran so, sa lung tikle sun ki naun ne, ta nyoma din tes da, sik tens ta sa wa kor la tes tes ha wo yidu sa, ina yang lung seria tan tikle seria dik kare ina sa.
ဒါတန်တဲ့ယူရနာရှင်လေးစကစကစကစံဘုဒ္ဓစရူချံဝမစံဘုဒ္ဓဝမစေဂျီဒီဆံစကတိကကတောင်းနေနာအဝတ္တဒုဆံဘီဝါဒီဝဂျီတယီကထထကစတိရူမစီဒါတိကရစကိုရဆနဆံဘီဝါဒီယုံကံခံကဘုဂျစတိနလာနဆင်းဒါဝဒတိချောင်းမဆင်းဒါတိစကံကကစဝန္ဒဝတ္တချဝင်းဒီဝါဒီ
Now, Ramses says, I'll start by giving a bit of presentation of the channels, right? We mentioned the central channel and then the right and the left channel. The central channel is also referred to with its Sanskrit name, the Avaduti. The right channel is the channel that is to the right of the central channel, and it's the one into which the red substances, such as blood, for example, is circulating. In Sanskrit, it is called rasana. The left channel, we have it very easy in English, yeah? It's on the left of the central channel, and it's called lalana in Sanskrit, and it is where the white substances circulate. We have to visualize that we actually have a net of channels. Although we have those three main channels, we have branches coming out of all of those, and this is how we establish a whole net covering the whole of the body. So now, as to exactly, you know, locate these channels, as I say, it's not very easy. But generally, we say that the central channel, you have to visualize it running parallel and in front of the spine. And more or less, that is the location. And then the right channel has to be on its right, the left channel has to be on its left. Now, as I say, it's very difficult for physicians to indicate exactly where it is, but when we're talking about Tibetan doctors, they can actually give you a more full presentation of the locations of the channels and how they run and their condition.
Long time, ဒီကောလာကျေနောကျေသုံးကကပ်စီဇဘောကကျေကရစကိုလီလာသောနာမေမုကဇင်ထောင်ရမေဒီဓက်ကိုရမေဒီဒီလူကရောက်ချက်ညောင်ရမေဒီတဲကံကဒီဆုံးတော်ကိုဇန်နဒတေဆုချိဝရောက်ပါရင်ကိုယူပါရီတနည်းတင်ဓာကိုတဆုယုံဘက်ကိုဇင်တန်ရကိုမုကချိဝကလုံးတိလုံးရောက်ပါရင်ကိုယူပါရီ ဝဒတ်တင်ဒကြီးမရာဒီကနောကလံဘချပမလံဘညတမနောလံဘစဒီဝဒတ်တင်ဒကကမနာချလကနဝကလုံးဒီဂျီမီဒီငီလုံးထမှုချဒီဒီယွာရီဝဒတ်တီကကနောတဆုလုံးထမှုယင်ဒီယွာရီတန်ချကတနည်းမရာနာဖြီချလကသုံကလကတေလာတီလုံးချင်းတထမှုဟုစီတင်ဒကထရုံစံကြီးဆောင်ယွာ
And so let's go a little bit into the winds that circulate in that. Actually, we can talk about winds of different degrees of subtlety or grossness. We can talk about gross winds, we can talk about subtle, and then we can talk about the most subtle types of winds. What we said, what is happening at the time of death is actually that the gross winds, which actually carry gross consciousness, they all seem to stop ceasing. And it is exactly this disappearance or this stopping of the movement of gross winds that brings about what we call the gross death, because death again can be seen at different levels. So when we stop having when let's say the gross eye consciousness and the gross ear consciousness, the gross nose consciousness and so forth stop ceasing, this is the time of the gross death. But what happens that after that we actually have more subtle types of minds, more subtle types of winds that continue to circulate within the body. And gradually we go through the experiences of white appearance, of red increase, and of black near attainment. And it's only after the type of black near attainment that we have the most subtle type of wind, the most subtle type of mind that is possible to exist. And this is the one that is circulating, and it's the one that will pass on into the next existence. So we have different levels of those things. The grosser ones, when the grosser ones are not active, the more subtle ones will become manifest.
ဟိုဒီနော်ဒါရတဲ့ချီတာတင်းဒါတင်းဒီကံမရစဒီဒီတာတာဒီဆူနောနာမရနောကံရောင္ကခံကာဘူဒီမရဇဘူတာတံချီလာမရယန်ဒိုမရူဂျီယွာရခံကာဘူဒီနောနာဂျင်ဂျီနော်တင်းဒါကဂျီရောင္ကဂျီကာဘလာတာတာချီတောင်းနေယွာနောယေရီဒူလီကံမရတီယောင္ဂျီရောပယောင္ထာမိုချန်တထာမိုယွာရီတီဟိုဒါတင်းဒါကဂျီခံကာဘူဒံမရဘူချာဒီသီလောင္ဝံဒါဝဂျီယောင္ဂီယွာရွာ
So having talked about different degrees of different types and degrees of subtleness of winds, now you may need to understand as those winds are flowing inside the channels, they're also carrying certain substances, and this is how we end up with the flow of the white and the red substances. Again, when we talk about white and red substances, they need to be understood in three different levels: the gross, the subtle, and the most subtle. And it's important to have, let's say, the best condition of white and red substance, because if they are not as healthy as they should be, or if they are not in the balance that they should be, then we experience different degrees of uncomfort and different degrees of sickness. Actually, that the white and red substances, they're capable of flowing due to the force of the winds. If the winds were not there to push them, they would not be able to circulate. And when we say that they are flowing, of course they need something to flow into, right? And this is the channels. Rinpoche says, look at the analogy of having a car. The car does not move on its own. Take the car to be a substance, right? The car needs, due to the force of whatever, of the motor, right? So the motor is like the wind. And the car does not just ride anywhere, the car needs to ride on a road, right? So this is, the road is like the wind, the channels.
Yeah, just getting into more details about how cars move, right? you need to put you have the engine that is working, and you need to put gas in there, and you're actually burning the gas by using wind, right? You must have a certain mixture of wind with the fuel. So it's wind, eventually. We have the element of wind that provides movement one way or another.
This most subtle wind that passes from light to light, are we talking here about a subtle form of clear light?
Subtle form of clear light, yeah.
The most subtle form of clear light.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Rinpoche, like, kewa chikne, kewa senda dronyen di sem shindu chamo re sa ngune chena di usul rewe sa kewa chikla, kewa senda la, kewa linyen di sem shindu chamo re sa di usul rewe sa
Riri, tenda yang jiwi mara tanga tangsa yuwa rwa osara si jite la yir osara tang, yir jen osara nyi si na sang yang yuwa rwa yir osara si jite tomba nyi la kudimi yir jen osara si jite long tamo ta jiga sem tamo tomba nyi tabo sem tamo di long tamo yunpan rwa tada ma sang na te rogo yuwa yindu te yir jen osara munza yang yuwa
Yes, actually, eventually we come to talk about the clear light when we talk about the thing that moves from one life into the next. When we talk about clear light, we have the object clear light and the subject clear light. The object clear light refers to emptiness, and the subject clear light refers to a very subtle type of mind that comprehends that emptiness, right? Now, if you have very subtle type of mind, you also have very subtle type of wind. Because the mind is riding on this wind. So it is the subject clear light that migrates from one life into the next. And again, this concept of having the object and the subject in clear light, defining one as being emptiness and the other one as being very subtle mind, we find that presentation also in the Mahamudra. We can talk about object Mahamudra referring to emptiness, and we can talk about subject Mahamudra referring to the subtle type of mind that can have such a comprehension. It will be the last one, so take.
Last night, Mr. Chair said that very subtle mind, along with the very subtle wind, were a similarity. In the Kala Chakra, there is a place which is purification of the most subtle mind. And I wondered, what is it in the most subtle mind that needs to be purified?
Rinpoche la, keso Rinpoche ki sunya la, nga ronso shintu trauma sem tang, shintu trauma lung di sangi kiri re sa. Ya, nyune che na, nga ronso tenkor ki kavla, nga ronso nyamlen chewayi na shintu trauma sem di janya ki nyamlen yo re sa. Sangi kiri yi na janya ki junsen kari re sa.
Ori dada yuwarwa chi, sangi ga ru di,
Yeah,
teni long tamo di mar ter di mang mi jonder di wan ro di ti jonder de ti go ni yang gu yo wa ro yang ji ni ga nyan de yo bu go ni jonder ma yang mi wa da ti na ji mi wa.
Now when we talk about very subtle mind and very subtle wind being Buddha nature, it doesn't mean that you have reached your Buddhahood. Buddha nature means that you have the potential to reach there, but you not necessarily have actualized that, because every sentient being possesses very subtle wind and very subtle mind, but not everybody has become a Buddha, right? Has actualized that. When we say that there needs to be some purification, what we mean by that is that we need to pacify gross wind and gross mind. Because the case with subtle wind and subtle mind is that they are never present when the gross ones are operating. So the purification really means that we're going to stop gross and subtle wind and mind so that we can eventually have the very subtle wind and mind being operating. Nyumpshe said it is the same as having two children in a family. Imagine that one of the children is a very quiet one, a very timid one, and the other one is an extrovert, right? So once the extrovert is in the room, nobody is going to notice the shy one, the quiet one. If you take the extrovert out of the room, then you start noticing that there was another child in the room as well. So the similar thing happens. What you're doing at the stage of completion is you're trying to stop the movement of gross and subtle wind and mind and allow the very subtle wind and mind to become manifest and to operate. And what you're doing really is you practice the same way that the army has to practice all the time. It's a constant, you know, process of practicing and purifying.
ที่ฉันเดินทางมาลองซึมทางมูร็อกบ้ากังกาดูเนี่ยที่ลองซึมทางมูยอบกับยินอะไรสิ่งอยู่อะไรกับที่เดียวมาลังกันนี่กับส์เนี่ยคุณอาทิตย์นี้ชิวาร็อกบ้ากังกามาดูนั่นดูนั่นที่ช่างกี่วันวะแต่ดูที่กาลจังเดินเจียจีร็อกกี่วันแต่นี่ชั่วที่ส์ลีดังยมังกังกังกายอันที่สักจะกูจังดูที่กับที่จีนกี่วันกับนี่บ้างถ้ากับสัมบัติที่กันสิ่งก็ もしもしもしもしもしもしもしもしもしもしもしもしもしもしもしもしもしもしもしもしもしもしもしもしもしもしもしもしもしもしもしもしもしもしもしもしもしもしもしもしもしもしもしもしもしもしもしもしもしもしもしもしもしもしもしもしもしもしもしもしもしもしもしもしもしもしもしもしもしもしもしもしもしもしもしもしもしもしもしもしもしもしもしもしもしもしもしもしもしもしもしもしもしもしもしもしもしもしもしもしもしもしもしもしもしもしもしもしもしもしもしもしもしもしもしもしもしもしもしもしもしもしもしもしもしもしもしもしもしもしもしもしもしもしもしもしもしもしもしもしもしもしもしもしもしもしもしもしもしもしもしもしもしもしもしもしもしもしもしもしもしもしもしもしもしもしもしもしもしもしもしもしもしもしもしもしもしもしもしもしもしもしもしもしもしもしもしもしもしもしもしもし
Actually, it is said that there are certain occasions where we can see in our ordinary life that there is some opportunity to see the very subtle winter mind operating. One of those is at the time of sleep. At the time of sleep, all gross consciousness has stopped functioning. And this is the time where we can see the subtle one operating at the dream state. So if you can be aware of that thing, maybe you can use dreaming time as a time of your practice, of becoming aware how the subtle move of wind and mind, very subtle, operates. Another time is the time of death. Again, we have gross consciousness subsiding and we have the very subtle one being obvious and operating. A third time where we can see the very subtle mind and consciousness is at the time where somebody faints. When you faint, the gross consciousness is the one that disappears, but the subtle one is still active. And finally, the fourth occasion into which you can have a chance of getting a glimpse of very subtle wind and mind is at the time of intercourse. So, and again, it's going to be a very short time. Now, these are occasions within our lifetime, and more or less we don't have much control. What we're trying to do at the time of completion is to gain as much familiarity as possible with this very subtle wind and mind. It is a phase where we are preparing ourselves.
So let's say at the time of death, when actually the event will occur, you will be fully prepared. You will have finished this stage of familiarizing yourself with the movement and of those very subtle things. Otherwise, you know, not much chance recognizing them. I think we should definitely stop here.
Yeah.